Début du dialogue 18.
Harriet Freeman is an economist, writer and academic. She joins me today to discuss the changes that will probably take place in the job market in coming years. Harriet, what are the big forces affecting work in the developed world today?
I can identify three. First, we're living in a period of extreme uncertainty. Uncertainty about what business models are relevant, uncertainty about where new technological developments will take us, and political uncertainty in many regions of the world. One of the consequences of this pervasive uncertainty is that companies are under constant pressure and need a workforce that can adapt to meet conditions which are unknown today.
Which means everybody should be prepared to be flexible and keep their skills up to date?
Precisely. Second, there's a growing gap in the workforce between the knowledge and the non-knowledge worker. Those with high-level skills are in demand in most parts of the country, whereas demand for those with low-level skills is rapidly collapsing.
And this can especially be seen in the dramatic fall in demand for male unskilled work.
Yes. And third, there's rapidly increasing pressure on pensions, holidays and sickness benefit, on all the components of the social contract that was built up in the 19th and 20th centuries.
Do we know what's going to replace it?
No, we don't have the least visibility of what's going to happen in this area.
Is the idea of everyone having a job simply unrealistic now?
I don't believe that an economy has a finite number of hours work. Economists agree that the so-called lump of labour doctrine is a fallacy.
But there are at least some politicians who aren't convinced and believe that work has to be shared out.
Work provides human wants that are infinite. The question is how you create a surplus to satisfy those wants. 30 years ago, you wouldn't have dreamt of personal fitness trainers or gastropubs or many of the things that provide work in 2012. In the same way, there will be many occupations in 2042 that we can't anticipate in 2012.
But what's to become of those who don't have the education or skills to participate as knowledge workers?
They're going to become very marginalised. There are a number of social challenges facing the economy, and this is a big one. It won't be tackled until our business, political and financial leadership recognise that what Britain faces is a development challenge, not a growth challenge. Unfortunately, we don't start to invest in the skills of ordinary people until we realise that we've fallen far behind in the global economy. At the minute, that's not even a preoccupation. It's a mere afterthought.
What about fair pay for the most senior managers?
British company directors are the best paid in the world, pound for pound of turnover. In absolute terms, people are paid more in the US, but they run much larger companies. Once you adjust for turnover, you find that perhaps as many as 50% of our best paid people are better paid comparatively than senior US managers.
You carried out a fair pay review for the government and proposed a system of earn back. Could you explain how your system would work?
It's a way for dealing with the weaknesses and unfairness that have become all too obvious in our bonus culture. Under the system I propose, you would have to put a proportionate amount of your annual salary at risk before you would be eligible for an annual bonus. Say you wanted a bonus of 50%, then you would have to put 50% of your base pay at risk. That means that if you didn't achieve your annual objectives, not only would you not get a bonus, you'd also lose 50% of your base pay.
Do you think that higher education could help jumpstart the economy?
We're living in a knowledge economy, and higher education is the linchpin of the knowledge economy. But in addition to that, as a result of the communications revolution, anyone with access to broadband has the chance to expand their knowledge, learn new skills, and develop earning potential online.
Fin du dialogue 18.